Welcome to a Friday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's podcast, I will be looking at the rest of season rankings and discussing some of the most interesting players in there. To help me do that, I'm joined today by my friend, Tyler Watts, who you can find on Twitter at Wattsy4444. Right? Just four fours.
Yeah, just four fours.
Perfect. Tyler, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Excited to talk about some basketball.
Oh, I'm always excited to talk about some basketball.
Excited for the weekend. This is the Friday show.
Can't wait. How about you?
Yeah, no. I can't wait. Weekend just means you get to watch extra basketball, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and then I can't wait for football to be over, so there's actually a lot more day games on the
weekend. Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get why the NBA does that, because they're going to get crushed by the NFL, but it does kind of bum me out that Sunday doesn't have better games.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's like, come on, I just want to watch basketball. I don't want to watch this terrible football game.
Yep, exactly. I was going to talk about the terrible football game on Thursday night, but there's enough podcasts about football. We can stick to basketball. All right. So like I said, in today's show, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the players in the rankings. We're going to talk about their rankings for the rest of the season, discuss where we think they're going to end up. The players that we try to identify here are people that, like, don't necessarily come up in the show on other days. There hasn't necessarily been any big news about them. They haven't had like such a huge game that we've talked about them, but they have done interesting things on the whole of the last week or 2 weeks, enough that we think it would be interesting to talk about them, to discuss their prospects for the future. So with that lead in, I think we're going to go ahead and get started here. Tyler, the way this worked is Tyler went through my rankings on the website, Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, where you can get all sorts of different rankings. And he looked for some players that jumped up high in the rankings or fell down in the rankings and thought was interesting enough that we could discuss them. So our first player tonight, Tyler, is Andre Drummond. Tell me why you think Andre Drummond's an interesting guy to talk about.
Well, I think Andre Drummond is doing a lot of things that no one expected him to do. First off, he's playing 37 minutes a game, which, I mean, he only played 30 minutes last year, obviously, so I don't think too many people were expecting that. He's also getting just some crazy rebound numbers, and he is also scoring 19 points a game, which is a big jump up from the 13.5 or so he had the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, the minutes are the big thing, right? Like, I don't think we know that he's a monster and can do things on the basketball court that basically nobody else can do. But the fact that he's playing seven more minutes a night than he did last year, and he's extending his effectiveness in that time and has actually been more effective this year is pretty stunning. Like, totally unexpected for me. Like, I'm surprised that Stan Van Gundy has changed his playing time philosophy that much. And when you brought this guy up and, you know, we started talking about him, I have to be honest, when I looked at the projection, because I don't look at the projections of every player every single day. So I got to Andre Drummond's, I looked at his, and we have him projected for 17 rebounds a game. I thought that was maybe a typo until I went over to his stats and saw that he is averaging 19 rebounds per game this season. That's crazy, right?
It does seem insane, but to me, it seems really sustainable. I mean, he had one game where he had 10 rebounds. That's the low watermark. The next lowest would be 15 rebounds in a game. What do you think about this?
It's just like Greg Monroe, or excuse me, Jonas Valanciunas is averaging the eighth most rebounds per game in the league at 9.8. Andre Drummond is basically double that. So let's go over to points. Sorry, I'm looking for like the eighth best player in points is Carmelo Anthony is averaging 23 points a game. That would be like if Steph Curry was averaging 46 points a game then. which is basically double. Like, that's how much he is dominating the rebound category.
It does seem insane, but do you think it's just because, like, a lot of the other guys, like, are kind of stretching the floor, like they're three-point shooters, and so they don't get any bang?
Yeah, he's playing Ilyasova and Mark. Well, look, like, he's a dominant rebounder. He always has been. Last year, he averaged 16 rebounds per 100 possession. This year, he's up to 18, but that's not a drastic jump. And they're all on the defensive side. Like, he's averaging the same number of offensive rebounds per game. So, like, if we saw a huge drastic jump in his offensive rebounds per 100 possessions, I would maybe think that it's fake. But defensive rebounds, you know, I tend to believe those a little bit more because they're usually mostly uncontested. So, yeah, I mean, I think he could totally keep doing this. He's averaging I guess I don't think he's going to average 19 rebounds a game. I don't know if that means his minutes are going to come down or his per possession numbers are going to come down, but I do think there's a very, 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 very good chance he's going to lead the league in rebounds. And I do think there's a very good chance that it's around, that it's higher than the 13 rebounds per game last year. Like, I guess at this point I would expect him to be in the 15 to 16 range.
And I actually think that even though the rebounds might come down a little bit, those block numbers are probably going to come up a little bit.
Right.
Which is going to probably kind of even out the value. Like, I mean, if you're owning him right now, obviously I think it's going to kind of, maybe some are going to come down, but that's going to come up and kind of even things out.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing is when he came to the league, he averaged 4 blocks per 100 possessions, then 2.5 his second year, then just over 3 his third year, and now he's down to 1.8 per 100 possessions. So I don't think you can be disappointed with him at all, averaging 19 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, the blocks have not quite been there. Now, in the good news, the steal rate is as high as it's ever been for him. He's averaging almost 2 steals a game, and he's playing so many minutes that he's still getting a good number of blocks. Mm-hmm. So he's averaging 1.8 steals and 1.4 blocks, like, to go along with 19 rebounds. You definitely can't complain about that. But man, I would have guessed, if you would have told me Andre Drummond's going to play 37 minutes, I would have said he'll get two blocks a game at least. So that, you know, that's a little bit concerning, but hopefully it's just small sample size. You know, blocks of any category would be susceptible to, at this point in the season, to just a small sample size, because he could go out and have 8 blocks tomorrow in the next game, and then that, you know, his block numbers will be right in line with where they should be.
Right.
The other kind of surprising thing is the points, right? Like, you know, going back to the per 100 possession stats, he's made strides in scoring every single season. So he started at 20 and now he's up to almost 26 per 100 possessions. So you couple that improvement, that steady improvement, with the minutes, and he's averaging, what, 19 points per game, which is not what you expected. Nobody outside of Kyle expected that. And Kyle, I don't even expect him to be 19, maybe 17 or 18. But
I actually, in my projections, I had him at 16.9.
Nice. What if you've got that up, what did you have him for as far as minutes?
I had him actually at 32 minutes.
Yeah, it's just crazy how, you know, I don't think anybody expected him to be this high in minutes. He's never played above 32. Last season he played 37.
I just thought, you know, he's their best player, and that's why I went with the 32, was he had that not last year but the year before, and I was like, he's their best player. They're probably going to want him out there a little bit more than 30 minutes a game. And so in my mind, I kind of settled on that 32.
So here's the crazy thing. Detroit is playing Marcus Morris, 37.5 minutes per game. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 37.5 minutes a game. Andre Drummond, 37.5 minutes a game. And then Reggie Jackson is playing 32 minutes a game, which doesn't seem high, but I think that's one of the highest amounts of minutes that Stan Van Gundy's ever played a point guard. I did a study last year, I think, when I was reviewing that Jody Meeks signing, that said basically Stan Van Gundy doesn't play his guards above 30 minutes a game ever. So for him to be getting 32 minutes a game is really, I guess what I'm saying is Detroit's running a very thin rotation for Stan Van Gundy. Do you think that continues?
I I honestly just don't think he trusts a lot of the backups.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he keeps saying about he doesn't like to play Stanley Johnson. You know, he only likes to play him as a shooting guard and not a small forward. And, I mean, look, just look at some of the backups on the team here. I mean, I think he just doesn't trust them to play them more than a few minutes a game.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, I guess it should continue then, right?
I would think so. I mean, eventually as the season wears on, you know, he might have to relent a little bit and play some of these other guys, but I don't think he's excited about it.
Yeah. So I know that our punt strategy isn't for everybody, but our recommended head-to-head punt strategy, which negates percentages and turnovers, we've got Andre Drummond at number 6 for the rest of the season. And while that seems sort of crazy, if he's going to get that many rebounds and play that many minutes so that his defensive stats are that high, it's accurate. So I think he's definitely a guy to try to target in trades, even though the owner is going to be happy with him. I doubt that anybody who owns him thinks that he's the 6th best player in your league. So I think you could make a trade for him and help your team out that way.
I definitely think that's the case. I mean, just looking at some of the guys obviously around him here in the rankings, I think that if you offered the trade, that a lot of people would probably snap at it in a second, and I think you might be winning out in the trade.
Here's a crazy one for you. Would you trade Anthony Davis and his sort of some injury problems for Andre Drummond?
If I'm getting Drummond?
Yeah.
I honestly think I'm taking Drummond.
Really?
Yeah, just because Davis, it just seems like the little things, you know, they keep adding up. They keep sitting him out. They don't have anyone to play, and they're still not playing him.
Yeah. Can I give you my answer is probably a cop-out answer, but I'm asking for Drummond and something if I've got Davis. But I'm sneakily going to the Drummond owner and saying, you know, trying to get him to make me an offer for Davis, because I think there's a good chance you're getting the better player in a head-to-head league. And then if you can get something else, I think that's the move.
Oh, because some people just value Anthony Davis so high. I mean, he was number 1 overall pick and all that. I think you might be able to get Drummond and a decent, you know, top 100 player in there at least.
Throw in one of your guys that's overperforming and Davis for Drummond and, you know, his second or third or fourth best player and see what happens.
I think that's definitely a possibility.
All right. Let's move on to our next big guy who's doing better than we expected. I think coming into the season, a lot of people looked at the two breakout big guys from last year, Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside, and said, Rudy Gobert is the safe pick here. I don't know that I necessarily want to mess with Hassan Whiteside because there's so much risk. And I think that was a fair assessment. We also heard things preseason about how Hassan Whiteside may be limited in his playing time. But thus far, it's been all great things for Hassan Whiteside. He's jumped up in our head-to-head rankings. He's now 18th overall. He started at 56th. What's your take on Whiteside?
I have been really, really impressed with Whiteside. I'm not going to lie. In the preseason, I was not really big on board with him, just from some of the things I had heard that, you know.
Yeah, what was kind of keeping you away from him?
Just the fact that he had kind of been a knucklehead, I think, and in some other places, and got himself cut from teams. And, I mean, obviously, I don't think you're that talented and just pop up out of nowhere. So, I mean,
right. It wasn't like a Space Jam situation where he all of a sudden got talent.
Right. And so I think, you know, that kind of scared me off, just because a lot of people, I mean, like, I saw in drafts where he was going in like the second or third round, and it was just like,
I thought
there was like some safety and some other guys. Yeah.
So I always saw him go. It seems like most of the drafts I was in, people were scared of him.
They went the other way.
Yeah. And I was always scared of him too. So I was always kind of relieved when he got taken, because then I didn't have to make a decision on him.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Like, I don't own him in any leagues. I'll be upfront with that.
Well, so his per possession stats this year are right in line with where they were last season. He's averaging 26 points per 100 possession, which is exactly where he was last season. He's averaging 20 rebounds per 100 possessions, which is just a hair off of where he was last season, hair below. He's actually averaging 8 blocks per 100 possessions. These are all absurd numbers. Like the 20 rebound, we just read Drummond's stats and he wasn't this good at rebounds. I mean, the difference is he's not, Whiteside's not playing 38 minutes a game, but 8 blocks per 100 possession. That might be an all-timer if he keeps that up. I guess from that standpoint, unless he's one of the all-time best block shots guy, I think that that number probably comes down.
I would have to agree with that, yeah.
So he's probably a little overvalued in our rest of season projections. I've got him for 3.5 blocks for the rest of the season. If I had to make a guess, I would probably say 3. Not too far off. But I think the big surprise, again, is that he's playing 30 minutes a game in the first 10 games that he's played. He started every single game. So I don't know. Do you think that he can keep up that level of playing time, or is it just like a sell high situation?
Who are they going to play at center? I mean, unless they're going to play a small lineup with Bosch.
I think that's what they threaten and like go with McRoberts, and you know, they're going to play Amari Stoudemire some nights, and sometimes it would be Bosch and Luol Deng at the big, you know, the big spots and go small. Certainly doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, and I think that this is another one where they just have like a lot of guys where they don't really want to play in big minutes. I mean, just look at some of the backups. I mean, other than Justice Winslow, who I think they're obviously trying to develop, you know, I mean, the two backup centers that they have listed on their team, Anderson and Amari Stoudemire, like haven't even, they played one game combined. Am I wrong about that? Something like that. And so yeah,
I'm not sure.
I think that they just are going to keep running him out there as long as he's healthy and producing, just because they're not too excited about playing anyone off the bench.
I'm looking at his game log right now. He, aside from the first game, which I can't really recall if there was something funky about that game, but his minimum minutes is 24 against Toronto in a blowout. And other than that, he's played at least 27 minutes in every game. So it's not like there's a triple overtime game where he played 50 minutes in here or something to be skewing his minutes per game. It seems like it's a pretty consistent role. And what's crazy is he hasn't played a game where he's had less than 2 blocks. He's had as high as 10 blocks, but he hasn't had any lower than 2 in any given game. That means, if he's playing 10 game or 4 games in a week, even in his worst week, he's going to get you 8 blocks, and he's probably going to actually get you 12 or 15. It's just crazy.
I got an interesting one for you.
Okay.
Who would you rather have, Rudy Gobert, who's ranked number 17, or Hassan Whiteside, who's number 18 in your rankings?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I still feel like I'm probably taking Gobert, because I feel like he's still probably, if one of these guys is going to go off the rails, it's still Whiteside, right? Like Gobert seems like his role is certain. His production is pretty certain. His standing on the team is pretty certain. Whiteside could get suspended. Whiteside could get in the doghouse. Whiteside could start playing 20 minutes a game. I don't think Whiteside's blocks, even though if those bad things don't happen, I do think he's my pick to lead the league in blocks. I don't think Gobert will be far behind. And I just feel like Gobert's floor is so much higher than Whiteside's floor.
In the preseason, I was
definitely
right there with you. But I think just because Whiteside is getting the 15 points, and Gobert, yeah. I mean, the points are, I mean,
it's points just matter. That's true.
It's just so low. I think now I'm going with Whiteside. I've liked what I've seen.
Here's my counterpoint. Gobert only averages two assists per game, which is not great. Whiteside averages like 0 assists per game. I think it might be 0.2. How many assists does he have on the season?
0.3. He's got 0.3 in 10 games. So,
which is like a career high.
Right.
That matters too. Like, I know that you say, okay, well, Rudy, you know, if you've got them in a matchup though, Rudy Gobert is going to get 7 to 8 more assists in a week than Whiteside. I think that in some cases negates the points advantage that you get. So I think it's like, if you were making rankings, like the rankings on the site are automated. So there's no objectivity that goes into them. But if we were being objective here, wouldn't you have them right next to each other?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, I completely agree. I think it's just a kind of a coin flip, personal preference, pick 'em situation. Yeah.
So for me, if they're both right there, I think I'm going with the safer guy.
I hear you on that one.
But you're going Whiteside.
I'm going Whiteside. I'm liking what I'm saying.
Well, Tyler, I can see where this is going. I feel like we've got a steel cage match in our future.
I know where this is going too now.
You're Hassan Whiteside versus Rudy Gobert. And in the old days where we don't live by each other, I don't know how we would have been able to decide this, but with the help of the No Halftime app, now we can easily make this happen. We can log on to our app. We can create a contest. It takes just seconds. I can send it over to you and we can make a challenge. My Rudy Gobert versus your Hassan Whiteside. Whoever has more fantasy points in the next game wins and wins some money and bragging rights, which is my favorite part about No Halftime.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. So super easy. We can do this for basketball. We can do this for any other sport, basically. Baseball, hockey, soccer, college football, college basketball. And the best part, well, hold on. I think you said you had a matchup you wanted to throw out and to see if I would accept.
Okay. I'm going to put this out there for you and I'm going to make it easy. Okay. I'm going to let you pick anyone you want. I'm picking Kyle Lowry tomorrow.
And I get the field?
Yep. Because they're playing the Lakers.
You got insider info as a Lakers fan. That's not fair.
Come on, you can have anyone. You can have Damian Lillard.
All right. I'll take that. Damian Lillard's my boy.
Just don't pick Steph Curry because I should have made that qualify.
Any non-Steph Curry player?
Yes, any non-Steph Curry player. They play the Bulls tomorrow.
You're picking basically somebody to go against your team. So I'll pick one of my guys. I'll pick Dame Lillard. No, he's going against Chris Paul. Any other night I would take him, but I don't want anybody going up against Chris Paul.
See, I almost tricked you again, just like Daniel did the other night.
He didn't trick me. I knew there was a very, well, I didn't think Ty Lawson would be that bad.
I think he had some inside info that Ty Lawson was getting benched.
Unless he knew that Kevin McHale was getting fired, in which case he should not be allowed to make picks against me. Shoot. Who am I going to pick? How about Karl Anthony Towns?
Oh, yes. It is on.
My main man, Karl Anthony Towns.
He's got to go up against Drummond tomorrow.
That's okay. Drummond, the dirty little secret about it, Drummond, is like in fantasy, I probably do want him more than Rudy Gobert. In real life, I think he's not like nearly one of the best rim protectors.
I would agree with that.
Like, I think players do just fine against him defensively, like when he's defending.
Yeah, so real basketball.
Exactly. Real basketball. Obviously, he makes a big impact, like scoring and rebounding. I'm not trying to discredit that, but as far as a defender, he's not there yet. Don't let the blocks fool you. All right, so the best part, Tyler, is for all of you who are listening and want to get in on some of this No Halftime action where you can challenge your buddies, best part is if you use the promo code that you get exclusively on this show, you get a bonus $25 just for signing up. So use the promo code BBALL, that's BBALL, and you'll get your $25. You can use that on the No Halftime app. You can challenge me, you can challenge Tyler, you can challenge your buddy at home. And so Tyler and I are going to take Karl Anthony Towns versus Kyle Lowry tomorrow. And then Tyler's going to owe me at least, you know, $9, but we'll see. Maybe it'll be a $10. We'll do a $10 or $15 challenge. We'll see how I can talk him into. All right, let's get to the next guy on our list. Nerlens Noel. We're going like with an all big guy lineup here. Nerlens Noel is on sort of the other side of the equation of the guys that we've talked about so far, though, right?
I would completely agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, he's sort of been disappointing to start this season. Let's see, I'm having a hard time finding my ranking. There we go. So we start him off in the preseason in the head-to-head rankings at 19. He has dropped to 33. What do you think is going on with him?
Well, he had that injury, obviously, which I think is kind of slowing him right now a little bit. But I watch a fair amount of these games, and I think that, you know, it's just kind of like last year. I think he's kind of meshing in, you know, slowly with the players. You know, he kind of started off the year last year a little bit slow, and then he kind of came on strong. And I think the injury set him back a little bit. I don't think it helps him any that the point guard play is less than adequate. Is that fair to say?
That sounds like a dig at TJ McConnell.
TJ McConnell's a good fantasy player. I'll give him that.
So for the purposes of these rankings, his shooting percentage has been abysmal, and I don't know what to tell you about that. I suspect it has something to do with the injury. The good news is he's taking more shots per 100 possessions than he took last season. The bad news is he's only making the same amount. So scoring-wise, he's right where he was last year. Rebounds-wise, he's actually right where he was last year. Assists-wise, steals-wise, he's right in line with all of his stats. So those, again, we're only talking about six stat categories here. In five of them, he's right in line with his averages from last season. So the decline has come entirely from block shots. Last season, he averaged 3.1 blocks per 100 possessions. This season, he's averaging only 1.8. You suspect that has anything to do with Jahlil Okafor?
Well, he plays power forward, obviously, and he gets stretched out a little bit more. I mean, in some of the games that I've been watching, you know, like he'll guard a Mirotić or, you know, someone who's going to stretch the floor a little bit. So he's not in there, like, necessarily right at the rim blocking shots. But I actually think that number is going to come up.
Okay. Do you have is that a gut feeling or do you have a reason for us?
Well, the big reason is I think that him and Okafor, like, are kind of, like, if you watch the first couple games, they're kind of tripping each other over each other's feet. Like, they don't know where to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that as they get that worked out, I think that you're going to see a few more block shots from Noel just because he's going to get a little bit more opportunity, you know, protecting the rim.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at his stats this season without Noel on the court. Looks like he's played about 229 defensive. I'm getting this information from NBAWowie.com. Looks like he's played about 229 possessions. His block rate so far is 2.6 with Jahlil Okafor off the court. Now I want to see what it is with him on the court. I suspect that it's much lower if it's 2.6, and overall he's 1.9. So riveting podcast here. With Jahlil Okafor, it's only 1.6. So he drops a block per 100 possessions without Okafor. Or with Okafor on the court. That is kind of concerning to me. And the stuff that you're saying about him playing away from the basket is also sort of concerning. And also, you know, we just talked about Drummond, who for no particular reason went from four blocks his rookie season, four blocks per 100 possession, to 2.5 blocks per 100 possessions. And he's never really recovered. So, you know, not everybody's decline is that precipitous, but I think it's in play here too. So I guess I don't know that I'm sure that his blocks are going to recover to the point where he's going to rank, you know, he's going to get back to that second round ranking.
You want to know another thing I think from just watching the games that I see?
Yeah.
And obviously we're not caring about this in your rankings that you're looking at, but I don't think that field goal percentage is going to be up near as high. He's playing more of that, like, Blake Griffin, like, top of the key area.
Okay.
And he's taking a lot of jumpers from there, and he is not good at them. Like, at least once or twice a game, he shoots an air ball.
That's not great.
Yeah, it doesn't even hit the rim.
So 39% is not good for your power forward center.
Now, I think it's going to come up some. I mean, I don't.
But he wasn't great last season.
But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that 46 that it was last year from the shots he's shooting. Now, maybe if Okafor goes down and he gets in closer, I mean, that's a possibility. But as things are constructed, I'm not seeing it going up that far.
Brett Brown should disallow him from taking jumpers until he can hit 70% from the free throw line. Like, I don't want my power forward who's shooting 60% taking jumpers.
Some of them are bad. I don't know how many of the games you've seen, but some of them are just like, it's like, wow, that was not even close to hitting the rim.
Yeah. All right. Let's move off of our big guy fetish here and move on to a couple of quick hitters, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. So Jared Bayless is up to 94th in the rankings, which probably would surprise everybody. It surprised me, frankly. He's up 137 spots. Do you have any strong feelings about this change with Jared Bayless, or any comment?
I guess my big comment is he's getting 31 minutes, which pretty much no one expected.
Right? Isn't that a huge surprise to you? Like, well, did you even know that before you looked at the rankings?
I did not. Considering his career high would be 25 minutes that he's gotten in his career, and he's played for, this is his seventh year or his eighth year.
If I would have asked you how many minutes do you think Jared Bayless has played per game this season, what would you have guessed? I would have guessed 23, and probably only that high because you asked me.
I would have guessed right around 22, 23. So
yeah.
I'm right there with you.
No, but yeah, surprisingly, he's played 31 minutes per game. Some of it has been because he's had to fill in as a starter. Some of it's because they've had injuries to, you know, OJ Mayo is playing his first game back this tonight, actually, on Thursday night. So I guess my question for you is, do you think the 32 minutes will continue, or do you think he goes back to his, you know, last season levels where he was about at 22 per game with the Bucks?
I think it's going down just primarily because, I mean, if you look at some of the stats, like he's shooting 47% from three-point range. So I think maybe he's just getting hot and making a lot of shots, and the coach is like, we'll keep him out there. And, you know, now they're going to have more guys to play, obviously, like what you're saying. They're what one would assume would be better players. So I think that the minutes are definitely going to trend down more to that 22 to 25-minute range.
Yeah, and just to kind of validate what you're saying, so – like earlier when I looked at Whiteside and said, hey, he's getting pretty consistent minutes if you look at the game log. Jared Bayless has a 46-minute game in there. He has a couple of 38, 36, and he also has, you know, some lower games where he played 22 minutes, which is where we kind of expect him to be in. And I think he's just a function of Michael Carter-Williams being hurt, OG Mayo being hurt. I think his destiny in fantasy is a streamer when he's getting opportunity. Like, I don't think you're ever going to feel good about owning Jared Bayless on your team. He doesn't put up those kind of stats anyway that you would ever really get excited about owning. So I think he's just a guy to fill in. Like right now he's hot on three pointers. So if you're losing three pointers and you want a guy to stream in at the end of the week to fill in for your three pointer needs, I think that's a great option. He's also going to get you some steals. It's going to score a little bit, maybe get you some assists. Like if you're dropping a big guy for a little guy, you know, you might can see a bump in assists, but he's never been great in assists. He's never going to be great in assists. I think his upside is just so limited. I don't think I would do anything but stream him in for very specific categories. What about you?
I completely agree with that. I mean, I've actually been surprised how many assists he's getting and how much they played him at point guard when Mike Carter-Williams was out, and they played him a lot over Grievous Vasquez, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, that I guess is the surprising part to me, is that Vasquez hasn't been getting these minutes. It's been Bayless. They gave up a first-round draft pick for Vasquez, for heaven's sakes.
Well, and Vasquez, he is what he is, but he's always been pretty good assist guy, right? I mean,
yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, it's kind of surprised me that they went with more of a scorer than a facilitator.
Jason Kidd, I think, is just overconfident that he can turn point guards into what he wants them to be. Like, that's the only explanation of why you would trade for Michael Carter-Williams, in my opinion.
I kind of agree with that, but
like, I think Kidd, and maybe he's right, but I think he thinks he can make Gerald Payless into a point guard. I think he thinks he can make Michael Carter-Williams into a competent point guard. And I guess the results are to be seen. All right, let's talk about our last. Oh, go ahead.
Is Giannis next?
I would love that. He's gonna make. He tried.
I remember that.
He tried. That's when I thought that the Bucks were for sure tanking. When you throw out your 7-footer as a point guard, I feel like that's when you're intentionally losing games.
Point Giannis.
Oh my goodness. At the same time, I watched every second of the point guard Giannis experience. So
it was a wild ride.
And he didn't do terrible. It's just the optics, like the physics of a 6'11 guy trying to dribble a basketball in a way that isn't going to get hounded by somebody like Marcus Smart or Chris Paul to the point where they can't run the offense. It's just, I don't think it's physically possible. It's nothing against like anybody, Giannis's skills. And I sort of have a thing for tall point guards. Like I always tend to give them the longest leash of any players. But 6'11 and 7 foot or whatever Giannis is just too tall to go against. Like Marcus Smart would just have a heyday with that.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's be short with him, and then we'll get everybody off to their weekend here. Markieff Morris, he's dropped 47 spots in the rankings, still the number 90th, which I think is still higher than most people had in preseason. Where do you think you're going? Like, what do you think you're doing with Markieff Morris?
I am definitely buying low on Markieff Morris.
All right. How come?
In your rankings is at 26 minutes a game, but you got to remember, I mean, he's only played in 9 games this year. One of them was that game he got hurt and he only played 6 minutes. And then he had 2 games where he got in really bad foul trouble and he played 11 minutes and 23 minutes. So when you think he's only played 9, 3 of them, they've artificially been pushed down by fouls and an injury. Those numbers are going to shoot up. And I think he's relatively probably doing the same things on, you know, a per minute basis. It's just the minutes are pushed down because of these.
Yeah. To your point, the minutes, the games that he hasn't been severely limited, which I guess we can't completely rule out happening in the future, but he's been above 30 minutes every other game. He's been 34, 36, 30, and 33. So I think a return to the 30-minute range is probably pretty likely, or at least close to that, and maybe factoring in the fact that he fouls out when he shouldn't once every 10 games, maybe he goes to 29, 28 minutes a game. The big difference for him, really the only difference so far, is the shooting percentage. He's still managing to get up enough shots that he's scoring at the same rate, but he's doing so at 36%. Rather than 46% from last season and 49% from the season before. But yeah, you're right. Rebounds, steals, blocks are exactly the same rate as last year.
Right. And so I think, I mean, that shooting percentage, obviously, I mean, the 3-point percentage is way down too. I think that's going to probably turn back around in his favor.
You're not giving up anything of value for him though, like in a trade. You're not trading anything. But bench guy for him, right?
This is what I'm thinking. I mean, look at the guy right above him in your rankings, Marvin Williams. Okay.
That's a juicy trade.
He's been playing great. Morris owner's probably mad because he's not been playing very well. I think that's a trade you might be able to make.
I like that one.
And who do you want? Because I definitely want Markieff Morris.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna be able to work out a no halftime challenge there. I think we're both thinking the Markieff Morris side.
But see, that's what I mean. Like, this is the type of guy, like, I usually look for to target in leagues just because, I mean, you see that and people are like, oh, he played 6 minutes one game. He played, you know, 11 minutes one game. And they get frustrated with that. And, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are right in this general range in your rankings where I'm like, I'd much rather have Markieff Morris.
Agreed. Oh, Tyler, thanks a lot for going through this with me. It was fun. You have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, that's about it for me. I want to thank you though. It was a good time.
Always good to talk basketball.
Definitely.
We appreciate all the listeners for tuning in and listen to us talk about basketball. Happy to have you with us. Just a reminder, if you could please go to whichever podcatcher that you listen to podcasts on, and whether it be iTunes or Stitcher or somewhere else, and give us a rating and a review. Hit subscribe if you haven't. Those are all things that can be very helpful to us. So if you appreciate the podcast, please go do those things. And until next week, we'll be back on Monday for a Monday podcast. We'll be a short week next week with Thanksgiving, but we will do a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday podcast. We're going to be back on Monday with a help you get ready for the week. Probably no better week to help you get ready for than the Thanksgiving week. So you can get your lineup all set and ready to go, and then go have some Thanksgiving dinner and not have to worry about it. We'll help you do that on Monday. And until then, enjoy some basketball. See you later.